Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and what we're doing every day here is going through the Bible, the scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And last time we left off in 2 Corinthians, about chapter 6 and verse 14, as we started to get into that a little bit. One scripture which many people know, many people have it memorized: "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Very good questions there. We are called to be in the world and not of it. Another affirmation of this scripture. Many affirmations of this throughout the Old and New Testament. We are not supposed to bring in the practices of the heathen, the unbelievers, into our congregations, into our households. We are to be separate from the world. That's what the word, if you take the word holy, it means separated, set apart. So we are commanded, and yes, this is a commandment: be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And of course, the illustration is to be yoked, which most people don't have much of a clue of what that means, since hardly anyone ever sees a yoke anymore. But a yoke they would use on chariots, or you could use them on a carriage, or to pull a plow when you have several animals together. And an unequal yoke would be, say, a pony with a draft horse. That would be an unequal yoke, because you're not going to get anywhere. It's just going to pull you in circles. Now, you have to have two animals that are of fairly the same size, strength, and that can do fairly the same job, that will pull equally together. When you yoke someone when you yoke two animals, you need to yoke them equally. If you are unequally yoked, the job doesn't get done, and both animals go off course. So you don't think for a minute by yoking yourself with an unbeliever that you're somehow going to save the unbeliever. All the unbeliever is going to do is pull you off course, and you're going to lose your straight and narrow furrow. You're going to lose sight of the object that keeps you on the straight and narrow. That's what we get by being unequally yoked. So in marriage, of course, for our young people, we need to teach them. Fathers and mothers need to reinforce this with their daughters, that they only marry by permission of the mother and father. Now, however, if you send your children to the public fool system, where they will learn the idolatry of romance, if you let them watch the sitcoms where the idolatry of romance is celebrated, and all the popular movies, and over they see the idolatry of romance. Now, many times it's unavoidable. Sometimes because many movies will always have an element of romance in them. It's part of their sales. They have to have romance in every movie. You'll notice some romantic element to appeal to the populace. And sometimes it's unavoidable to rout out every element of the idolatry of romance out of your lives and to protect your children from that. I mean, you could do something, like you can rule your television set by not allowing the sitcoms into your house and watching the movies that you do. If you watch movies with your children, explain to them the romantic elements and caution them against them. And fathers, when your daughters are young, let them know that you intend to well, let's see, authorize their marriage, and to get a promise from them that they will not marry without your permission. And the mothers need to reinforce that. However, now, if you have a husband and wife that are not unequally, that are not equally yoked, one is going to be pulling for romance, and the other is going to be pulling for the law of God and obedience to that law. And you can see what's going to happen to the children. So how important it is to be equally yoked. Continuing on here, and what agreement, so we're talking about agreements, and what concord in verse 15, so we're talking about concordats, that's a type of agreement. What concord has Christ with Belial? The word concord. Let's see, what do we got here for this word concord? Accordance. What accordance do we have? And that's all our good friend Strong gives us on this one word is accordance for a concord. So what accordance has, because we do things according to his law and they do not. Belial does not do things according to the law of God. So you have an unequal yoke there. What agreement? We have no agreements. We don't enter into contracts. We don't allow, you know, said, and I have to draw again the illustration of the socialist security contracts and all of these insurance contracts that people sign out there. You're unequally yoking yourself with unbelievers. You're having one purse with them. And to draw an illustration on the insurance, they say that about 8% of your insurance premium goes for the administration and the payment of claims. 8%. The question is, where does the other 92% go? What is your labor paying for? See, you're paying for wherever that other 92% goes. Now, the people that enjoy these riches, this 92% profit, of course, sanctioned by the government, as a matter of fact, mandated for all of theirs. If you are a resident, if you belong to the world, then you are mandated to get those. And then there, of course, are many people call themselves Christians that participate in those things unquestioningly, ignorantly walking into the trap, into the snare, the fowler snare. So we're not much wiser than a bird that walks into the net because it sees bird seed. Is that what we're like? Yes. Oh, man. But what is it? What are they using that money for? And whatever they're using it for, to destroy your nation, to promote sin, to promote homosexuality, to promote the redefinition of marriage, to promote a new sign for the rainbow. Remember, the rainbow was a sign given to us by God of his covenant with man, that he would never destroy man off the face of the earth as he did during Noah's flood. It was a sign of his covenant with mankind. But now it's been redefined. Now the rainbow means, oh, homosexuality is gay. Oh, we're gay. We're colorful people. Yes. And they stole the word gay too. And now they want the word marriage. That's right. Well, my answer to them and the whole marriage issue is for godly men and women to withdraw, to not buy the license. You already have your license. It's called the Holy Bible. In the pages of that book, God gives men and women license to marry according to his law. So if you marry according to his law, his book, because he is the supreme lawgiver, his book is all the license you need. You don't need to go to the state. Unless you want benefits from the state, but why would you trade his benefits for the benefits of an image made by men? Because that's what the state is. It's an image made by men because it only exists in the minds of men. Yes, the land is real, and we designate certain areas of land, by a name. We say that this area of land is called California. And the land is different from the state of California. The state of California is a corporation. And corporations are fictions or images created by men, and they only exist in the minds of men. If all men cease to exist, the image of the state of California would cease to exist because it only exists by the imagination, because there's another word, the root word of imagination is image. It only exists in the imagination of men. And that we share this image, you know, does that make it more real? No, we do not worship images unless we obey them. If we say, well, you know what? I read God's Bible and God won't give me a license to marry. So I reject the law of God and I reject the word of God and I reject his word because, you know, this man wants to take this man to be his, how does that work? Are they two husbands? Oh, it's not funny, but it's just hilarious. What is wrong with these people's brains? They are brain damaged. Yeah, anyway, they go to their image, the image, which is given life. They give life to the image and it breathes and it speaks and it gives them laws because they hire men and pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to write new laws for the image. And then they have their high priests of the image that decree unjust decrees. And they legislate wickedness and they give people licenses. Now I live on the land in California and they've got their state, you know, all their people that comprise and give life to the image over here. And, they've been going back and forth with the whole marriage issue, redefinition. And I think this last time they just said, you know what? The people have spoken and, we don't want to become that unpopular because the people keep reversing it over and over, by vote, although not by much. But you get the idea. If people can't get license from the scripture, they turn to images and they worship the image of the beast. And of course, by accepting its laws over the law of God, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, but they seek first the kingdoms of men, and images or an image of God's government created on earth. But an image that twists or rejects the law of God. What concord has Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So talking about taking part in these things. How about if you get a license from the state? Are you not becoming one with the state? Are you not becoming unequally yoked? Their law proclaims that the state is the third party head of your marriage if you get a marriage license. It isn't just the man and the woman getting married under the law of God. You can do that without a state license because God already gives you license. Take your Bible, go to your pastor, and or if you want to get married in a church, or go to the bride's father, say, marry us. And he may delegate that authority for a ceremony to the church because the father has that right to delegate. But really, marriage, the institution of marriage, the ceremony of marriage, by scripture, is a family right. And I mean R-I-T-E as in ritual, because right, R-I-T-E is short for ritual. So marriage is a family right. Just study your scripture. Go through your scripture all the way from, you know, beginning to the end, and you'll find that marriage is a family right. And fathers should be instituting the marriage in the family. The father of the bride should have the feast. It was always because he was giving the bride away. And that's the pattern we see in the scripture. I guess there doesn't really have to be any hard, fast rule. Speaking specifically for young people, because most people that get married and then should stay married for the rest of their life, they should be the young people, and the father should be giving the bride away. Instead, they turned it over to the state. The state becomes the third party head of the marriage by law, by the state law. And of course, then you get into the legal issues and you find out, well, that's why the CPS can come in and take your children, because they really own them by contract. you have signed a concord with the state. You have signed an agreement with them. You have unequally yoked yourself because the state is an image. So if you're not allowed to marry outside the faith or your denomination or whatever, you're supposed to be equally yoked in that. Well, how do you yoke yourself to an image? And make it the third party head of your marriage. And that's all the poor little homosexuals want. They want equal rights. Well, you know what I think? I think only the homosexuals need a license from the state to marry because they can't get one from God. God Almighty will never recognize their marriage union. So only the homosexuals, only the adulterers, and only the disobedient to the law of God need a license from the state because the state is their God. They've rejected the word of God. Now we're getting a little deep into be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So there's many ways that people, we just go along. We don't question anything. We don't look to the word of God. How many of you prayed, "Oh, Heavenly Father, should I sign up for Social Security? Oh, should I get this job?" You know, well, yeah, go get the job. Go work. Work for your bread. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But a wise man looks well into his ways. And if they say, "Oh, but before you do that, you have to do this. You have to commit this crime before you can do the good thing." Well, oh, I want to do the good thing, so I have to commit the crime, don't I? Now, the ends do not justify the means. We should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The unfortunate thing is that most people will not stand up for what's right. They will allow themselves to be coerced into volunteering. Because you all volunteer. If you had to sign on the dotted line, you volunteered. If it's mandatory, you wouldn't have to volunteer. That's right. If you went to work, they could just assign you an employee number. Well, you're employee number 339. Don't forget that number because that's how we identify you on the job. But they don't assign you a number. You have to apply for it and sign your name to the contract, making them your benefactor and making you their ward. That's right. You declare yourself incompetent to administer your own financial affairs. And that's what it's all about. How's that for being unequally yoked? You put pagans in charge of your financial affairs for your life because you say, "Well, golly, what am I going to do if I get old? And, you know, I can't trust in God." Yeah, I know the Bible says forget none of his benefits, but gee, I don't remember because, you know, my pastor never preached it to me. Never told me about God's benefits, how he'll take care of me all my life, and that if I seek first his kingdom, that everything I need will be added to me. And that doesn't end when you're 65. That doesn't end if you become disabled. That doesn't end if your spouse dies. He said, "Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything that all these things will be added to you." Of course, he was speaking about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What wherewithal am I going to be clothed? How am I going to be housed? He said, after all these things, do the nation seek, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You don't have to be unequal yoked with unbelievers. I will take care of you. And then, after all of that about being unequal yoked and having no concord or agreements and contracts and with the images and with unbelievers and having one purse with them, let us all have one purse. Cast in your lot with us. Yes, help us pay to murder innocent people. Help us fund the destruction of your nation by the profits that you're going to give us. Come, let us all have one purse. Let us be unequally yoked. It will benefit you greatly. Are you being bribed into capitulating and going against the law of God? Absolutely. We'll be back in a few minutes and we'll continue here in 2 Corinthians.